the Spirit of God is saying that I am the one that controls, watch this, the wind and the currents. Your ships that are on the way from Tarshish coming to you. There may have been a delay. The wind may have pushed the sails in a different direction. What you going to do when it doesn't show up just at the time you think it should? But God says, I'm in control. And I'm going to turn some things around to get it to you and through you. You know, the Bible says the first thing in Scripture, in Genesis, that the world was without form, it was void, and the Spirit of God brooded over the chaos. If you're in any kind of chaos in your life right now, get ready, because something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. Oh, if I'm preaching to two of y'all, then I'm going to preach my brains out today. Because I'm going to be one of those two. Because I know I've been waiting for a minute. I've been looking for the ships, and I can see the sails from a distance, and then it seems like it's getting further and further away. And I hear the Lord says, I'm about to turn the wind towards your direction. Amen. Amen. Get your Bibles, if you would. Get your Bibles. Get your electronic devices, whatever you're going to do. But turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Now, I spoke last week about passing the baton. I spoke last week about how we have to run our race, run our course, and we have to understand that we have certain parameters that we must run in. And I talked about how, Mom, do you remember that time I was running track and I showed them how anything that goes wrong, Delphi, it happens to me. So coach looked at me and says, you're going to run track. This is Martin Perez, not the other Martin. He says, no, you're going to run the second leg. He says, when you run this, I want you to give it your all. So when I'm running with the baton, it falls. So when I go try to pick it up, I kick it, and it keeps going. And I had to run the race, but the other people ahead of me quit. And I had to finish the whole race by myself. See, there's some things in your life that you're going to think that people are there to receive what you have to give for them, but they may quit on your journey and on their journey. They may quit. So there's not necessarily the opportunity to receive what's about to be given because you get out of position. So I want to talk to you about pressing on to take hold of that. To take hold of that. Press on to take hold of that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, out of the New Intelligent Version, or the New Ignorant Version, or the New International Version, however you want to call it. It's the one I like to turn to from quite often, from time to time, because it helps me see some things a little bit different. In verse 12, it begins to read like this. It says that now that I have already, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true, not only yesterday, not only today, but forever. Truth will always remain as truth. And I thank you that the word is truth, Father, that it will speak into our spirit, man, awaken and quicken us to not only hear, but to also do what you command us to do. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, press on. Press on. There's some seasons in our life when we have a tendency to want to quit or we have a tendency to get weary, but we have to press on. But we first have to understand what is the goal, what is the that. Where it says here in verse 12, it says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We have to understand what is that that we're running for. And that, our goal in our journey, in our race, on our course, is to become more like Christ. I hope you hear that. It's not to become a name that you're making for yourself. It is to become more like Christ so that when people see you, they see the Christ in you, the hope of glory. If they see you and give you accolades about you, that's how you know you're missing the mark. Because they should always give God the glory for what is transitioning in your life, what is taking place with the influence that you're giving or that you're operating in. What is that? The that is to be more like Christ. The baton in a race, in a relay race, is Christ working in me and through me to impact those around me. So do you understand what it's saying? It's saying that the baton that you are getting ready to give to someone else is the work in me and through me to impact those around me. In order for us to pass something to somebody else, we first have to understand that we carry that same desire to be like Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some things in people's lives that I don't want. I don't want your stinking attitude. I don't need your stinking thinking. I don't need you to be thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips, even though they're still and outdated. I don't need none of the stuff that's not good for me in my race. I don't need the stuff that you want to hand me that you fully don't even understand that you have. What I do want to receive is the Christ in you to help get it to me and through me for the world that's around me. See, you're looking at the person next to you. They have something to give to you. But there are many times witches and some off spirits come into a service and they want to get something to you and put it on you. But there is something to understand if you know who you are. You would discern what they're trying to do. But what winds up happening, we go to church. You see what the mess is going to be today. Because I need a word, need a word, need a word, need a word, need a word. I need my breakthrough, need my breakthrough. See what Pastor's going to preach on today. I know it's 10:30. I'll get there about 11 after praise and worship anyhow. It's something a little loud. So, you want a word? What if God was to give it to you when you walked into the church and you start praying and he speaks to you at that very moment and no one have to talk to you? What if you were to get into position so that you were in poise to hear from God what he has to say to you that comes from the throne for you? See, it doesn't always happen by someone, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it happens when you learn to shut up. We may get a little thin in here. Boy, I'm going to preach the truth to you. People want to hear another word, want to see another glory. They want to see some jewels fall. They want to see some sort of sign. But if they never want to open up the Bible, get into a place of fellowship with the King, the Father, what are you coming to do but other than be a bystander and just look? Maybe you should be the one that is engaged in the very presence of God and you can help release for somebody else instead of for yourself. Look to your neighbor and say, you're my source. I want to see your eyes when you said it, because some of you are like, ooh. Look to your neighbor, you're my source. See, God is going to use your neighbors. He's going to use the people next to you. He's going to use the people you work with. He's going to use the people that you come in contact with, because he's going to get something through them to you. When you know who you are and what God has given you to do, then you're no longer worried about what can come your way. Put a witch up in the house. She gonna be, or he gonna be right here on the floor crying out for Jesus. So some of you that follow me on Facebook, I put up one of those videos. Did you see that when that lady came that was demon-possessed? Saying, I'm here to destroy your church. I'm here to kill them all. And he's like, what? Sopate. But the more and more that the word was beginning to come forth, that spirit began to squeal. You speak the word knowing with authority what the word is that's inside of you already. You begin to speak, that thing begins to make the demons tremble. So if the enemy can get you not to understand what the word really is about, he's got you defeated. When we were in Africa, there were some people that had some demons in them. A whole bunch. And when we began to minister under the tent, we began to see some people begin to start vomiting, throwing up, begin manifesting. But at the very end, just to see someone start throwing up and squirming like a snake, that don't impress me. That's just a demon trying to get away. What really gets me is when I see the person in their right mind. What really gets me is to see them being loose from that demonic oppression. See, when you have an understanding of who you are, the enemy can't come and play with you. But if you don't know who you are, your playmate is the one that you've been playing and spending the most time with. We get a little thin here. It's all good. It's all good. Because I know where he's calling me to. And I know where I'm going. I'm going to a place where some folks don't want to even hear another kind of tickle me kind of message and make me feel good for a minute. I want something that's going to change my life. I want something that's going to talk to the very issue in my life that I don't want anybody to know about, but only God is the one speaking to me. And there's no way that you could know exactly what I'm going through, but you spoke something that only God knew. See, I need a people to have an understanding. When you come into the presence of God, you're coming because he has sent you there as an instrument of heaven so that his glory can radiate through you for a purpose for the kingdom. Yeah, but I have my church at home. Click, click. Click, click. I mean, up as they're doing that new copper pan that doesn't stick. We ought to order one. You see, what happens is you have a tendency to turn off God when you want to turn God off. So he says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. Come to the house. I was so glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. Why? Because it's in the house that God is going to get the resources to you that you are necessary in need of for your breakthrough. The trick of the enemy is get out. You don't need those people. Forsake not the assembling of the saints. Get together with the people. You don't. Oh. You may not like them. You may not like where they work. You may not like how they dress. You may not like how they smell. You may not like how they talk. You may not like how they walk. But baby, let me tell you something. God said for you to love them anyhow. See, when you begin to see the love of God in that person, that God loves them so much that he even loves you, you begin to look at that and say, wow, God, you love them because you have to if you love me. That ain't hit home because you ain't all that. If it rained up in the church, we'd have a lot of people we'd have to give CPR because their nose so far up in the sky. What we need is people to learn how to come into the church anticipating, getting on the edge of the seat, leaning forward. Give me what you got, preacher. Give me what God has for me. Give it to me between my
my eyes. Tell me like it is. And don't put no sugar on it. I don't need another cavity up in the church. I need something to get rid of this stuff that's rooted down deep inside of me. I need you to tell me something that's going to change my life. That's not going to leave me the way I've been. It's going to take me out of this pit and get me to a better place. Tell me something, sir. What you got for me?
I know where I'm going. I know what I'm called to do. I told the Lord, if you're going to send me with the people that want those people. Send me with the people that don't care about how they smoke, what they look like, or where they've been. Send me a people that know what it's like to be in the place where they're at that very moment. They can say, you know what? You reached for me. I'm reaching for them. Send me a people that says, you know what, Pastor? It don't matter what we got to do before the service. I'm here throughout the service. It doesn't matter what you're about to preach on. I'm here to release a word as well. What is that word? I love you. Jesus loves you. And Lord, use me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Do what you are bidding for me to do, and I will do it, God. I need a people that are looking for the hearts and the souls to be harvested, for the field is ripe and ready, but the workers are few. What is he talking about? He's talking about the people that will work for the people. What is that? What is that? If you're just running a race, but you don't know what the that is, you don't know what to receive. We have to understand that what we're running the race for is to run towards the one that has called you. Jesus. You're not running to be crowned with victory just because you ran a race. You're running to get as much knowledge in understanding and the mysteries of the kingdom so that you could pass it on to the next generation. If you think that what you have found out is just for you, the enemy has got you so twisted in your mind. You've got to run your race knowing that he's got you to run after him first. Whew. Every course of your race that you are running, there is a place called the transitional phase where there is where the baton is exchanged. And where that place where the baton is exchanged is where you get the next revelation of who he is in you. Before I can take the baton and begin to run my race on the next leg of my journey, I have to have that understanding that it's there already. You got to understand that it's there. And then when you begin to run, you're running towards the one that has called you, Jesus. Why am I running my race? To be more like him. Why am I doing this thing? To be more like him. Why am I going through so much pain, tribulation, and all kinds of people talking about me? To be more like him. Why do I go through what I go through in the seasons of my life and I don't have understanding? What is it, God? I need you to be more like me. Well, speak, Lord. He says, well, come to me. Come to me. And I'll show you a side of me that I've been waiting for you to ask of me. Religiosity, religion, breaks covenant and breaks relationship with the Father. If you want to know more about religion and tradition, you're going to lose relationship with the Father. Just because I know the color of my wife's eyes, the color of her hair, the color of her nails, what she likes to eat, what she doesn't like. Just because I know it but don't act upon it does not mean that there's relationship. That's just observation. But when I know what my wife desires, and I know what my wife does not speak that I know, that's because relationship. Your heavenly Father doesn't care whether or not you know all the traditions that have taken place over thousands of years. Do you know him? Do you know him? Oh, yeah, I'm going to say it now. But you don't understand that all the foreshadowing that took place in the Old Testament is so that we can get to know him. That's not what it was for. It was to make them look for the one that was coming. And when he came, they still didn't know him. So what was the foreshadowing for if you still didn't get it? You missed the exchange. You missed the exchange. We have to know him now. We have to pursue after him now. Not by way of tradition, not by my mama's God, not by my grandmother's God, but the God that stands before me today. The God that I've made personal in my relationship, that I pursue after him so that when it's time to get to that next place of exchange, I know I've already received what he's given me. It's called relationship. So the next course of my journey that I'm running the race, I know I will finish it because he's already given me what I need for this journey that I'm on. It's in the exchange. It's that zone that we can't get out of, or we can be disqualified in the race. But if we stay in that zone, it's called the Holy Ghost zone. And when you stay in that presence of the Holy Spirit, he begins to reveal, he begins to teach, he begins to illuminate, he begins to bring to you the things and speak to you the things, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But we don't want to spend time. Watch this. Because we have, as a society, in today's system, it's much easier to hit it and quit it. Well, it's a little bit too street. Okay. I like what Pastor Benny said. I grew up hood. It's easy just to get in a relationship for a quickie. Yeah. Y'all don't want to hear it that way. This is rated R church. It's real, relevant, and raw. Here's the reason. We don't want to make commitment. Because if I make a commitment and do it right, then I'll be held liable for my actions. Baby, you already got it twisted. You're held liable for your actions right now. Oh, Lord. If I would tell you anything, you better get ready because something's coming your way. Something's coming your way. It's coming your way. What you do in preparation to receive, that's on you. That's on you. There's times I get ready and I'll go right back downstairs and say, hey God, I haven't heard anything yet. I'm waiting on you. I don't want to tell him what I want to tell him. I want to tell him what you want me to tell him. Because what you want me to tell them, you're telling me. If you ever get to a preacher that's only talking to you about you and not them, there's a door. You might want to get walking. I stay transparent for a reason. Because it's God, the hope of glory, that keeps me going. That's the only way I can make it. The only way. Well, I'm just going to tell it to you this way. You want to play with God? He's going to send some toys your way. Yeah. You don't believe that? Ask King Saul who sent the tormenting spirit. God. God. But why? God doesn't send tormenting spirits. Get it right and get it tight and he won't have to. Get your heart right with God and he won't have to send a demon your way. Oh, that goes against your theology? Really? Find it in the word when he sent it to Saul. If you can't say amen, just say ouch, pastor. It's all right. Yeah. I don't believe in demons. I close the doors behind me. Some of y'all got that one. Quit opening it. Because the more you open up the door to them demons, they're going to stick around in your house for a good minute. And then after you get tormented so much, then you start crying out to Jesus. How about keeping the door shut? Spending time in the quiet place so that when you receive the exchange for the next portion of your journey, you already know you have it. Yeah, I'll stay here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to tell you how you get ready. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 2 out of the NIV reads this wise. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. There it goes. It tells you right there. There's nothing you can hide. Because you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? There is a cloud of angels reporting back to God what he already knows concerning you. Watch this. Let us throw off. So when you look at your neighbor and say, you're throwing off, it's in the word. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews tells you right there what you got to do in order to run your race. You got to throw off some things. You got to get rid of some stuff in your life. And if you don't think it's hindering you, how much further would you be if you would just acknowledge that it needs to get off of you? Play with God. Old school church say, you want to play with God? Don't play with God? He's going to get you. He's going to get you. He's going to let you know that he's really God. I told God, I don't want to play like that. Not me. I want to do it your way. Didn't mean it's going to be easy, but I want to do it your way. There's some things that I got to get rid of in my life that he tells me to throw off. He tells me to throw off. Watch this. I wrote this down. It says, we must get rid of the old stale manna, or it will become spoiled. You got to get rid of the old junk that you used to rely on to get you through. You're going to have to learn something fresh and something new from God for yourself. Throw off the old garments that once spoke of your identity to others. 1 Corinthians 13:11 speaks of this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What is he saying? There's an exchange zone where you've got to put away some stuff that's not good for you. You got to put away some things that are keeping you ensnared and entangled. Not just the sin, but the things in your life that you don't want to deal with. I love it when Christians say, oh, the Lord's working on me. If the truth be told, the Lord really working on you, you would have submitted right away. Because the hand of God is heavy. Heavy. You'll surrender and submit. Truth be told, God's not working on you. You're working on yourself to get ready to go and do something. Just do it. Give it up. Cast off. Throw it off. Throw off the hindrances that are in your life. Watch this. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. This is where the baton was passed. Watch this. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. He tore his garments in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. But I want to tell you, even the things that are on your life that identified you as a woman or man of God, because there was nothing wrong with Elisha. There was nothing that was significant enough to say that you got to get rid of that old stuff because it's stale, it's old. What he was doing, he says, what I need to endure and where I am going, I myself have to get rid and tear off this garment that people can identify me as only the son of Elijah. Do you understand that some things need to come off of you and it's only up to you to get rid of it? See, what did he do? He didn't just take it off. He tore it in two. He tore it what happens, we have a tendency to take off the garment, but we won't destroy it because we're going to go right back to it later and put it right back on. But if I was to really tear it and get rid of it and destroy it, then I can't put back on what was once on me. I have to throw it away and get rid of it so that I can accept the new identity in which God has called me to. Do you understand? What is he saying for you to do? What is he telling for you to get rid of? What is he telling you? What is he telling you to get rid of? What is he telling you to get rid of? What is he telling you to say, you know what? You've got to take this off yourself. You've got to take this off yourself. When you can answer that, then you know that you're running towards. Do you understand that? Too many times we focus on the negative things in our life, and he's telling you, take that off. I won't take it off. You have to take it off. You have to yield to my will. You have to yield to what your desires are and let me do what I need to do. But the moment that you react to what he is prompting you to do, leading you to do, you'll walk out your deliverance. You'll walk it out. Not only will you walk out your deliverance, but you'll experience true breakthrough in your life. Run your race. Run your race. Why is it important to run your race? Because your race isn't your neighbor's race. The portion of your race is not your neighbor's race. What you're going through, maybe somebody else needs you to succeed in this because you're going to help them get through it. But you got to surrender to it. You got to surrender to it. Are you willing to surrender to it? Are you really ready to throw it off? Because if you are, then you're ready to receive what's coming your way. Who wants to get rid of it? Stand right where you're at. Just stand right where you're at. Who wants to get rid of it? You're only responding because you know. If you don't know, stay seated. There's nothing wrong with that. What you stand before man and before God, he holds you accountable for what you're saying you're going to do. It's better to not even make a vow than to make one and don't complete it. You're ready to throw it off. You're ready. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I pray for those that have stood right before you, oh God. They've acknowledged the call unto the angel that has asked for them to respond to you. Now, Father, I just thank you right now as they stand there getting rid of, they're throwing off that very thing that has been identified in their life. And Father, that those that keep that identification on them, even like Elisha, he ripped it in two and he threw it away. He tore it off. He rent it into two pieces. That it can no longer be brought back together. It can no longer be put on again. At this very moment, we're throwing off the very thing that has brought our identity in something that is keeping us from being identified in you. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for each and every individual that is standing before you now. I thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn out the very things in their life that are not of you. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that will convict them in the actions through their day-to-day basis, that will begin to renew their mind and show them, Father, that even the way that they think, even the way they try to process, Lord, show them your way. Show them your way. I thank you for them now in Jesus' mighty name. And those that are standing said amen. Amen. You may be seated. If I can get the guys to come on up and help me do this. I'm going to close here in just a minute. I told you in 1 Corinthians 13:11, the old ways. These are the old ways. Our old ways of speaking, the old ways of acting, the old ways of just doing things. We had to put them away once we became a man. What is that saying? Once we transition out of from a child into an adult, we have to put away the things that kept us identified as a child. How we act, how we speak, how we react. Some of y'all in the church should be saying amen. Because a lot of times you react the same way that you've been doing before you even got saved. What comes out your mouth is the same way that used to come out of your mouth before you even got saved. the question will always lie, is God really in you? Because what's coming out of you don't sound like God. Amen. Oh, you can't say the amen. Ouch. I can take the ouch. The ouch is a more identifier of you speaking, God. This is a real church because, oh, God. We need a real God to work on us. We need a real God to work on us. That will prove to us that the deity of who he is begins to show us that that deity resides in us. And if we had the true understanding of who resides in us, we begin to change the things that we do in our life, how we act and how we speak and how we react because of who lives inside of us. Put it another way. If your mama was at home, would you be acting the way you act in the home? Now, I bet your house be clean if your mama was clean. I bet that you would be doing what needed to be done right if mama did what was done right. I bet that you wouldn't be talking the way you're talking if mama would talk right. But if mama ain't talking right and you ain't talking right, then you're just doing what you know, a learned behavior. Just because your learned behavior became your norm doesn't mean that it's normal. It just means it's your norm at that moment. The Bible is the only way that you're going to have an understanding that truly the norm is to speak edification and not death. Don't curse, but bless. You want to know how God is really changing you? When you begin to see the course of your actions and your vocabulary begins to change. My wife and my mom told me that when I was in the hospital with Josh, that all of a sudden now that my vocabulary changed. My wife didn't know who I was because the way I was speaking was different than the way I was speaking the night before. There's your identifier. You begin to make change in your life because you're allowing the one that lives inside of you to live through you for those that are around you. If you think that everything that you're going to do in life is okay right now and you haven't seen an increase, it's because you haven't got into position. You haven't put yourself low so that he can take you high. If you continually think that everything that you're doing is right but there is no change, you're doing things in your flesh. You have to continue to surrender to God and let him get into the area that he wants to work inside of you so he can work through you to those that you're going to influence around you. Amen. Do you want him working in you? Are you going to yield to him? That means you're going to yield to your attitude. They don't want it. They don't want it. Thank you. Because you're going to stop the way you think and react. You're going to begin to ask God, how should I react in this situation? Don't let me be reactionary. Let me be the one that asks of you and how I should react. Or do I react? Maybe I just need to be still and be silent. Says that you reap what you. Is that he only talking about money? Is he only talking about seeds that go in the ground? No, he's talking about your actions and your words. What you sow, you are about to get it yourself too. Woo! I don't touch a nerve in someone up in here. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get it. 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 God's going to reveal to you who he really is in your life. He is going to invade your space. He's going to invade your vision. He's going to invade your mind. With everything that you think negative of God, he's about to show you who he really is. And he is about not only to change your vision, he's going to put scales over your eyes to the things that keep you from seeing him. He's going to shut the door on some things that no man knew that cannot open anymore. If you don't deal with that issue that your father brought onto you and the anger that you carry inside of you, it's going to take you deeper and deeper, and you will be locked up and you're going to spend some time behind bars. Deal with the issue, because God wants to deal with you. giving of your time, giving of your ear, and giving of your heart, but always to be stepped on and taken advantage of and only talked about. The Bible says, because you gave up your heart, heart is coming back to you. Love is coming back to you. Someone is going to hear that there is someone that has a genuine heart and really loves and really cares. They've just been wounded along the way. But God is saying, because you have sown into the area of people's lives, they're in need. Now that you're in need and there's chaos all around you, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I'm bringing healing to you. I'm changing the way and the influences in your life that speak negative about you. Get ready, something's coming. And it's coming to you. Get ready. You have to understand there's some things you got to get rid of. And those of you that have gotten rid of, you've been saying, Lord, I've been waiting, I've been waiting, I've been waiting, I've been waiting. Lord, if there's even more, search me, search me, search me. Reveal to me so that I can get rid, so that I can get rid and I can walk in wholeness with you. And Bible says in Isaiah 60, it says this, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. What is it saying? Just in verse 1, it says you've got to get up from your position. You've got to get up from where you're at. You have got to get up from being downcast. You've got to get up from being depressed. You've got to get up from being taken advantage of. You've got to get up from people talking about you. You've got to get up from all your sickness. You've got to get up. You've got to rise. You've got to shine, for the light that's inside of you is coming forth. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Shine, rise, get up. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You first have to get up. You first have to make a choice to rise, to make change. When you rise, you see things different from a different vantage point, that you can see things different than nobody else can see. And when you make that choice to rise, it doesn't matter the one that's next to you telling you all the sweet lies to you. You've got to rise and see truth. Why? Because you're running your race. Knowing what you're running after, knowing what you're running to, is the key to understand where the finish line is. The Bible said that Enoch never tasted death, but he walked in commune with God on a daily basis. So he took him. And he never experienced death. How much is his presence worth to you? Mama, I'm never going to get tired of his presence. Not me. Because when daddy walks in, it's yes, Lord, have your way. When daddy shows up on the scenes of manifest presence, I know he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. But when he manifests and he shows up and things begin to take place, his light begins to reveal to me. Oh my God, revelation, illumination comes, because the transition that is necessary in the exchange zone. Woo! Woo, I hope you hear this. This is just only verse 1 of what's coming to you. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Watch this. And gross darkness the people. Lord. But the Lord shall rise upon you. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Are you hearing this? It sounds like in the days that we're living right now, it's dark. And it says in verse 2, watch this, and gross darkness upon the people. Oh, it sounds like a prophet was prophesying about our today. We have so many things that are so bad in this world, but there's more darkness on the people. Choose to go through a door. Is the door bad? No, it's the people making the choice to do bad that's worse than the door. If you already know what's behind door number 1, it's not good for you.
Don't look at the dog. Ah, pues nobody's looking. You know it's bad. Don't do it.
Ah, pues, you know, she's kind of hot looking, so ain't nobody here. We on vacation. We just go around the corner a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
See, what's bad is that we choose the gross darkness.
But watch what he says. But, look at your neighbor and say, but the Lord God shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you.
It's in the darkest hours that we live in today, in the people and in society, that the glory of God rests upon you. You, who? The one that is in the exchange zone. The one that is ready to receive the illumination of who they are. To understand that they are the light. That they're no longer down. They have risen.
Woo! I'm trying to hurry. Verse 1 says, arise and shine. How can you shine if you're down? How can you shine if you're down? You have to get up to see that there's still a fight inside of you.
Watch this. It
says, arise and shine. In other words, he's saying the light's already inside of you, but if you stay down, you'll stay depressed, you'll stay oppressed, and you won't get out of where you're at. But when you shine, that means illumination has come to you to reveal the identity of who you are in him and him in you. And that all the power rests inside of you. This is why he begins to say, then the glory will be on you. And the glory is going to rest on you. And his presence will be on you. And that everywhere you go, God is with you. And that everything that you're doing, that God is illuminating through you. That everything that you're doing is because you exchanged something with God. And now you're taking it out of the secret place. And you're taking it to the public place. You're showing them, and God has given you something. I've come out of something. I'm not in what I used to be in. I'm not a drug addict anymore. I'm not out there trying to kill myself. I'm not out there just whoring around. I'm out there being faithful. I'm being obedient. I'm standing with my God. I'm not where I used to be. I'm rising. I'm shining because his glory is on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say, arise, arise. But don't forget to shine. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings the brightness of the rising. Watch this. What is it saying? That the Gentiles, those that were not selected but also came, and they rose because of the light, they even came. Watch this. What it says about the kings. The king speaks of prosperity. King speaks of prosperity. That even the kings took notice of the light, and they came to you.
Woo! Y'all missed that. You missed that. You missed that. You have to have an understanding that prosperity is dominion and a kingdom. They ain't getting it, Caleb. They ain't getting it.
If prosperity has a domain, it has a kingdom, then a lack of prosperity also has a kingdom and has a domain. It's called lack. If you're in the kingdom of lack, the kingdom of prosperity doesn't want to come to you, lest you rise up out of that lack and let his glory radiate to you and through you. Then you can be shifted into position for that the kingdom of prosperity take notice of your light and now comes to you. Oh, that's too deep right there for you. That's too deep for you. I'm going to explain it to you. Verse 4. lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to you. Watch this. Thy sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Oh, sucker now. Now he's talking about your real precious items in your life. He's talking about the very blessing, the seeds, when he's talking about sons and daughters. Not only is he saying that the kingdom of prosperity, the kings, the wealth is going to come to you, but he's also going to cause those sons and daughters that have been out there on the wayside. They've been out there looking and spending all their inheritance. But the Bible said, and the prodigal son came to himself and recognized where he was at. He said, if I could only get back to my father's house. What was that saying? I'm in my exchange zone. I realize that I may be down. I realize I'm in the pig's pen. But when I rose, an illumination came on who my identity is. I knew where my position lies. That I could get back home to my father's house. And even if he makes me a slave, I still have a place. But daddy saw him coming from afar. The prodigal father looked and saw his son coming back home. Yeah, he saw the daughter coming back home. He saw the one that was out there in the world system. But he said, oh, I see my seed coming back to me. I see my seed coming back to me. He came into his own mind. Prepare the fatted calf. I've been preparing this thing all along. Because I knew in my knower, my sons and my daughters were coming home. I knew they were coming back. I knew my family from afar was coming back. Woo! I ain't done yet. Woo! Verse 5. Then shall you see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sheet of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Oh, now. He's talking about the sea, the water. He's talking about the ocean, mama. He's talking about the ports in which the ships come in. He's talking about where your blessing comes. Your blessing comes from afar. And when it comes from afar, it comes from a place that the Holy Spirit in the beginning of creation hovered over. Hovered over the waters of the deep and the expanse of it, waiting for the word to proceed out of the mouth of God. And God said, let, and the Holy Ghost fell. Woo, let. All we need is a let to come out of the mouth of God. Let, and you shall be pregnant. Let, and you shall be set free. Let, and you shall be delivered. Let, and you shall be healed. Let, and you shall be transformed into the image of the Father. Let, and you shall see the transfer from one place to another. Let is being released to you. The expanse of the sea, watch this. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Look to your neighbor and say, something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. Read in this particular scripture, the prophet is saying that something is coming. And he keeps saying, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. Woo! Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to you. What are you saying? The forces, the power, the resources are coming to you. To you. Watch this. Verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover you. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they will show forth the praises of the Lord. Are you hearing that? When you get into position in the exchange zone, you're getting ready to receive. But you have two requirements. One, arise. Get up from where you're at. And then it says shine. You can't get all these promises. I'm waiting on the Lord. Oh, when it's his time, it's his time. It's always his time. It's always his time to get a blessing to you. You first have to pick yourself up out of the mess that you're in and let his light shine in you and through you for those that are around you. If you're in the pig's pen, save the pigs. No, y'all missed it. Sometimes you will find yourself in a place you didn't think you were going to be at. Sometimes you'll find yourself in a place you didn't think you were going to be at. But when you arise, he says, then all of a sudden look around. Look around. Why does he say look around? Because the enemy's trick is to keep you looking at your problem. To keep you more focused on your thing than that. The race, the course, the finish line. If you got problems, rise. Rise. And let his light in you shine. Let it shine. Hold him. Oh, let it shine. Remember that old hymn? I don't, but it's back in the day. Jacoby, just rise. Just rise above it. Rise above it. Sometimes you gotta go where others don't want to go. You gotta get where others don't want you to get to. But when you get up and rise, there's going to be a let coming forth. There's going to be a let coming out. And that let is going to speak to your circumstance. But you got to rise. Maybe you're the only one that knows how to rise. Maybe you're the only one that's got the word inside of you. Maybe you're the only one that knows how to speak the word into existence. Maybe you're the only one that will speak the let and prophesy into the very area that you need your breakthrough. Maybe it's just you, but you've got to get ready to exchange to someone else. Hey, my mind. Woo! I'm going there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Verse 7. Watch verse 7. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. Speaking about a people. Speaking of increase. Watch this. This next sentence got me. The rams, those that buck against you, those that come against you, those that always talk about what you're doing, those that always go against of what God is telling you to do, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. Even the rams that came against your ministry are going to come and speak good of you. And they're going to minister unto you. What are they going to do? They're going to turn from the wicked ways of being a ram and learn how to follow and know how to get rid of the bucking that's been taking place. They're now not going to come against you. They're going to go with you to fight for you. They're going to plow away for you for where you're going. Woo! Watch this. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar
and I will glorify the house of my glory. I used to ask God day and night, what's going on up in the house of manna? He says, what I'm about to show you, you won't get it until you experience it. You won't have an understanding until you search me out. You're not going to get the full explanation of it until you get into your word once I show you where you've been. Then after I show you where you've been, get into position for the exchange. Because now I'm getting ready to take you to a new place. A new place, Pastor Benny. A new place. I've been preparing a place. I've been getting some things ready for you. I've been getting you ready for the place that you're going. I've been getting you ready for you to make an impact to those that I brought to you. Hear this. In order for you to receive all of the seven things that are mentioned in seven verses, they're coming to you. It's coming to you. It's coming to you. It's coming to you. You want happiness? You want peace? It's coming to you. Yeah, you want to shift and you want to see the ships turn into your port? You want to see the camels bring to you your goods? You've got to get ready. You've got to be in position, but you have to let your light shine. Even in the midst of where you're at. My. The anointing that rests upon this house is for restoration, healing, and deliverance. But I've also had the great privilege, and only by God's grace, to hear the testimonies of many of those that have been healed of cancer. I've had testimonies of those that have desired to have a child that were unable to produce a child. That's the grace that's on this house. What is grace? Grace is power. What God has given to a particular house. And most of my messages that you will hear come out of this particular pulpit will be about the transitional phase that you're in. Why? Because this is a house of transition. Are you hearing this? You will transition out of one and into a new. You will transition out of old and put on something new. You'll experience something that's new that you hadn't experienced before. And if you're looking at something that you think your eyes must see or hear, it's something in the spirit that is coming to you. Because this is a house of transition. But if you stay on the other side and do not transition through, and if you don't get into the middle, you can never look back to where you came from. You will always keep looking about where you're at. Transition over. Understand that it's coming to you. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet. Are you ready to receive? Ask your neighbor, are you ready to receive? Are you waiting with expectancy? Look to your neighbor and say, are you waiting with expectancy? And the next question, are you stretching forward? We have got to stretch forward for what lies ahead of us. Ahead of us. Why the stretch? It causes us to lean in the direction of something new. Come on, all I want you to do is just stretch out your hand forward. Enough that it brings you to lean in forward. Watch this. If the person in front of you wasn't there, or the chair in front of you wasn't there, you leaning so much, you would fall forward. So here's what the Spirit of God is saying. I need you to stretch to your destiny. I need you to stretch to be more like me, God. More like God.
I need you to stretch, because the more you stretch towards destiny, the definition of who you were in the world is no longer going to hold you back. Are you hearing that? The definition of who you were in the world is no longer going to hold you back. Why? Because you're stretching towards your destiny. Are you ready to stretch? Father, in the name of Jesus, for each and every individual that is believing in this word that has gone forth, Lord, not only are they ready for the blessing, but first of all, Father, they have a responsibility to arise. They have a responsibility to get up. They have a responsibility to let the light that's in them to shine forth. And when the light shines forth, Father, that is your light. That is your illumination. That is your revelation of who you are, the deity, the God that lives inside of us, that can work in us and through us to get it to someone else. Father, I thank you that we understand that we are to become more like you. That is the race. And that is the race, Father, that we are to run, to be more like Christ. And Father, I thank you that my finish line is not really my destination. My finish line is when I start my new revelation with you, Father. Because I may walk in the glory of God in the heavens, Father. I will walk with you to see even more and learn even more of you. But Father, my journey right now is to run this race. Not that I've already obtained it, not that I've already achieved it, but I'm going to run and I'm going to stretch for it and I'm going to move forward in it. I'm going to let go of the things of my past. I'm going to let go of those things that identify me in the world, but I'm going to speak of the things. I'm going to speak to the things right now in the name of Jesus of my destiny. I will change my speech. I will change my thoughts. I will change the way I react and I act. Father, because when I became a man, I put away childish things. Lord, I thank you that as we stand here today, we are ready to receive what you have for us. We're leaning in because we're expecting. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Oh, he is so wonderful. If you believe it, I want you to give the Lord a shout. Tell him how much you love him. Yes, yes. He's worthy. He's worthy. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Yes. Bless your name, Jesus. Woo. Before you leave on the way out of this gym, on the way out of the house of God, I want you to hug two or three people on the way out. You tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. And then we'll see you next Sunday. Ready. Leaning in with expectancy. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you.